Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And now, a conversation that is not for younger ears, because we're going to talk to and about Lena Dunham, who talks a lot about sexuality. Last week, hundreds of fans lined up at the Wilbur Theater in Boston to meet Lena, creator and star of the HBO hit series Girls, which follows 20-somethings groping their way through disastrous relationships in New York. During sex, they hit their heads on the ceiling or have runny noses or find out their boyfriend is gay.
I'm fine. What I'm having right now is an inappropriate physical reaction to my total joy for you and your self-discovery.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. And listen, I want you to know that this exploration was very much inspired by you.
I like that she's really honest about female 20-something life, both kind of raw and maybe not sugar-coated like maybe Sex and the City was. You know, it can be lonely and crazy and things don't always work out, but I just like her take on it.
Is this mom?
It is, yes.
What's the draw for you?
Exactly what my daughter just said. I like that it's reality-based, that what really happens to 20-year-olds and how hard life is. It's not easy at all.
Some of it is a cautionary tale.
Absolutely.
As is Lena's new memoir. It's called Not That Kind of Girl. It's written from the vantage point of the 28-year-old she is now, looking back at her younger self. The book tour reflects the level of control that girl has achieved. At every stop, a local performer, Planned Parenthood in the lobby. I see little drawstring bags.
It says Lena Hart, Planned Parenthood, and it has, each of the little bags have a condom, information about our services, and a little card from Lena about birth control and the importance of using it.
I think my goal with the tour was, I have creative ADD. I need to feel like there's a lot happening around me at all times, and so in many ways, the amount happening on this tour is purely selfish, but I also wanted to be able to sort of promote my politics, promote some local artists, make it have a little bit more of a festival feel, a festival I would actually want to attend since I'm kind of a homebody.
You said that you want other young people to learn from your mistakes, and they are lined up out there waiting to hear from you. Is that rewarding or terrifying?
A good combination of both. I hope I don't disappoint them. I hope they feel like they get some kind of sense of community out of this evening. That's all I could ask for.
But they want more. They want answers. In fact, members of the audience are filling out cards with questions.
I think my main one is, where do I sign up to become your protege? She's one of my main role models growing up.
Is this mom?
Yeah.
What do you think about Lena Dunham as role model?
I think that she is the most courageous person on TV right now. She's willing to look at the unpretty things that are going on with herself and the people around her, and she's not afraid to show the real her.
Here's maybe where we should say we're not going to take you to this show. Lena Dunham may have documented every moment of her life, but her time with fans, that's between her and her guests. Tonight, memoirist Mary Carr, who's written searingly herself about her mother's psychosis and her own alcoholism in bestsellers The Liars Club and Lit. What do you think of what she's accomplished?
Well, I think she's changed the conversation about young women and sex. I like to say that she's created the All-American Menstrual Hut. You know, where we all get together in the sweat lodge and talk about our hoo-haws.
Well, actually, you preceded her, talking bluntly about yourself and your life, and she credits you with that.
Well, I always say that, I think memoir came from the margins. I think Richard Wright's American Hunger, used to be called Black Boy, sort of started the craze for memoir back in the mid-40s. And then there was this great plumage of men's books, I think. Frank Conroy, Tobias Wolff, Malcolm X, all these great books, men's coming-of-age books. And I remember teaching in 1980 at Tufts, and, you know, there's Maya Angelou and there's Mary McCarthy, and neither of them really wrote about sex. I mean, Maya Angelou wrote brilliantly about aberrant sex in her first memoir. But Lena Dunham really started a conversation, I think, with the show, and the book shows a kind of depth and pathos that you always sense in the show. You sense that there's real suffering.
Under the humor.
Yeah, under the humor. I mean, humor's always about a wound.
To her many fans, Lena Dunham's now joined Mary Carr and a sisterhood of memoirists exploring that theory. Nora Ephron, who became a role model. Helen Gurley Brown, founder of Cosmopolitan, who drove feminists crazy but introduced Lena to the idea of exploring her sexuality.
What do you think the women that you tell us helped you would think? They're gone. Nora Ephron?
Yeah.
Helen Gurley Brown, of all people.
I would have loved to meet Helen Gurley Brown. What if I could have had, you know, I would have broken my no drinking rule to have a drunken lunch with Helen Gurley Brown. That is for sure. I mean, I hope that those women would feel excited and like I was continuing a dialogue that they very bravely started and made possible. I would not be able to write a book like this without Nora. I would not be able to write a book like this without Helen Gurley Brown. I would not be able to write a book like this without Anais Nin. Like, there's a lot of women who made this book going out into the world possible. And so, you know, I hope that they're given credit. And I think there's nothing that's better for young women than reading books by great women from the last 150 years.
Lena Dunham, creator and star of the hit show Girls, author of the new memoir, I'm Not That Kind of Girl, on her book tour. Much more ahead. We're continuing our visit with Lena Dunham, creator and star of the hit HBO TV show Girls and author of the new memoir, Not That Kind of Girl, a conversation that may not be for everyone, especially children, but a book tour that is thrilling her followers who see her as a role model for her frank approach to sexuality and her acceptance of her not always perfect body. At the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Zoe Hyde of Brookline Booksmith kicked off this first stop on a book tour.
The outrageous feminist bacchanal can really get moving. I trust you all brought your menstrual jars.
Also on the show on this night, a woman Lena sees as a role model, the brutally honest memoirist Mary Carr. I asked her what she thought about Lena's frank writing.
She talks about her vagina and physical pain, pain about her body.
She talks about shame. I mean, she, you know, I was 20 and I hated myself. The book starts off and she talks about not being able to find anybody to have sex with in college when, you know, we're all supposed to be just boinking everything with a pulse.
And it turned out to be not that much fun when she did. I mean, it was...
Well, yeah, it's usually not in college. It's too scary and you're too vulnerable. And she talks about wanting to be held and wanting affection. And we live in such a pornographic age. Nobody talks about the dangers of emotional damage from having sex too young. I mean, I actually think she showed a kind of psychological wisdom and self-awareness by having sex later, instead of like me when I was 16. You know, I think it was not really, I think it was ill-advised. You don't really know how much pain you can be in or how vulnerable you're going to be.
Those words and the cautionary tales Lena tells are freeing for young women, but have also been embraced by conservatives as proof of a failed liberal ideology. For instance, there was that rare time when Lena drank, she hardly drinks, and stumbled out of a college party into a rough sexual encounter. Columnist Russ Doubtout wrote in the New York Times that conservatives see that as a rejection of expressive individualism and anything-goes self-discovery. But as we'll hear, they'd be wrong to assume that Lena's isn't still a fierce feminist message.
Hi, how are you? Lena.
We met with Lena Dunham backstage. She was lighthearted, self-assured. She says she's outgrown the needy character she plays on Girls. We asked her, first of all, if she's ready to be a role model, to have the experience Mary Carr describes of having to bring tissues to her book signings.
She told me that she often has people crying, telling her, like, the darkest aspects of their life, which I more have people, you know, telling me about what they ate for dinner and their bad boyfriends, but it's in the same world, which is that we both share a lot and therefore people share with us, which is a gift, and you also have to know how to handle it responsibly. And she's really a role model for me.
Well, this book has elevated you for a lot of people. Michiko Kakutani, the New York Times reviewer, she kind of mentioned you in the same sentence as Dorothy Parker.
It's very surreal. This is a terribly overused word, but it's very surreal to be mentioned in the same breath as, like, the female writers who made it feel okay for me to do this job. And those are the people who obviously I was reading for inspiration. And I've been a huge fan of, you know, Michiko Kakutani's reviews have been informative for me for as long as I've been looking at the newspaper, which I looked at the newspaper before I actually knew how to read, just for pretend. But it made me feel, at least for a moment, like the writing of the book had been worthwhile.
Well, and I wondered what it's like to be going out with the book, which is so powerful about how you used to feel about yourself. You start the first sentence, I am 20 years old and I hate myself. And you go on to take us through your battles with weight, with obsessive compulsive disorder and medication. Mary Carr quotes Ian McEwan, to promote a book after you've written it is to be an employee of your former self.
I thought that was such a beautiful quote, and I'm not yet at the employee of my former self phase because the book's been out for 3 days and I'm still so shocked it even exists. But I know that feeling from girls being asked, you know, questions about things that happened first season and going, oh my God, but I was, you know, 25 then and now I'm going to be 29 and it's a totally different experience. And but for me, I think something that's interesting about reading the book aloud is that it continues to be a very raw experience. Every time I read, I relive the sort of painful stuff that's in the pages. I don't have as much distance as one might hope.
I'm getting a little, you know, welling up, thinking about my nieces or young women. If I have that as a reader, what do you have towards that young woman who was just so, struggled so hard?
When I read what it was like to be, you know, a younger version of myself, I feel a lot of sympathy. I sometimes feel, you know, enraged with her. It's like watching a horror movie and seeing the girl go into the basement. Why don't you not go into the basement where the murderer is? And so I'm left feeling pretty bare and pretty vulnerable in front of an audience. But writing the book has been cathartic and caused me to make some kind of peace with that that I didn't have before.
There's one chapter in particular where not only is the reader saying, don't go in that basement, but you say some of your friends tried to tell you, don't go in that bedroom in college. What are you trying to say there? It ended up being a rough sexual experience, and yet you seem to question, is this my fault? Was this a choice? You, when you told a friend about it, she said you were raped, and you laughed.
I think that it was, that essay is an exploration of the guilt that so many women feel around assault, and I think that it took me a long time to become comfortable with the idea that I had been, you know, involved in a non-consensual sexual experience. Like so many women, I took a lot of the blame for it myself. I shouldered a lot of the burden. And I know some people will object to the idea that I didn't name it, but to me it was important to explore how many women have experiences that they can't name and that they don't know where to file. And what I concluded was that it had been traumatic and that I needed to admit to myself how traumatic it had been in order to be able to move on.
Yeah. And maybe the cautionary tale for young women, explore why you are walking that way, even when a friend is grabbing you by the arm and saying you shouldn't go. Yeah.
I actually think the cautionary tale is also, I really hope that it causes some men to examine themselves. Because to me, you know, I'm not encouraging unsafe drinking behavior, but I think women should be able to feel safe and comfortable on their own campuses, and college experimentation shouldn't lead to lifelong trauma. Because I think we do have this culture in which women are forced to take responsibility for themselves and for their own safety in a way that men never are. And I don't think a girl should feel unsafe walking drunk across a party. So I'm just so glad that this is the conversation that we're having nationally right now.
Yeah. There are, of course, critics of Lena Dunham. I asked Mary Carr if she was worried about what Lena might be facing.
She's got it right now. I mean, the hashtag fury pointed at her. On the one hand, you know, I was leaving and I stay with a woman in Syracuse where I teach, and her 24-year-old daughter said she changed the conversation about sex for me and my girlfriends. She helped us say, you know, sex really isn't being that much fun. It's supposed to be this great thing and it's not that much fun. And they could talk about the shame they felt. And so to have this fury aimed at her, mostly about how she looks, she has great things to say about her body, and I think she has incredible poise. And a real love for herself, but it's a hard won thing. I think she's had to become bulletproof in order to do what she's done. So I don't worry about her.
And now, the author of Not That Kind of Girl, the reason for which we're all here tonight. So can we please give a really impressive Boston welcome to Lena Dunham?
We left Lena Dunham to the wild applause of fans as the conversation and the book tour got started.
Thank you.
And what's being called Lena Dunham's Literary Circus, her book tour, continues. 8,000 tickets sold. Fans get a signed book with a $38 fee. Tonight, she'll be with the Prairie Lights Bookstore at the Englert Theater in Iowa. Then Austin, Texas at the Central Presbyterian Church on the 12th. Love to be a fly on that wall. Portland, Oregon, Powell's Books at the Newmark Theater with actress Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia. We'll link you to the full tour at hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Here and Now.